Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. 2 weeks in to the URC and still we haven't had both Scottish teams winning at the weekend. We will be looking forward to the Autumn Internationals are coming over the hills, but we'll be looking back on the Edinburgh and Glasgow games at the weekend. As ever, to keep me straight, I'm with Alan and Matt. Alan, John Wick is starting in 16 minutes. You're asking us to rattle through the pods, but other than that, how you doing?
Good. Watched episode 2 of John Wick, where he sort of seemed to sort of kill about a fifth of Rome's population. So I'm already excited for episode 3. I'm excited what European city John Wick's going to take down now.
What sort of character development is John Wick going to bring in John Wick 3?
I was actually quite excited about it because it's kind of like got this like kind of cult status, I think. And it's generally one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm like the perfect demo for it. So I don't know.
He has no character. Like, there's nothing about him. Whereas I think there's like a backstory and there's character development in a way that John Wick doesn't have. So that's what I would go for.
Imagine if you were listening to this podcast for the first time, you would think we've really sort of strayed from our founding principle of talking only about Scottish rugby. But it's nice to offer that rounded look at culture. Matt, are you well? Are you keeping well?
I'm good, mate. I mean, I've got the Scottish-Italian shield to keep me going as we enter into autumn.
How many hobnobs have you had pre-recording this evening?
Maybe half a packet.
Half a packet, I think, is like sort of the buy-in of a pack of chocolate hobnobs. It's very difficult to stop.
Yeah, they're like sugar pills. They're great, but they don't touch the sides with it.
I feel like you give me shit all the time for like drinking Diet Cokes, and then you're like eating half a pack of hobnobs on like a Wednesday night is like an appropriate thing to be doing.
I drink quite a lot of Diet Cokes as well, so
there you go.
You think all these brand names, someone at McVitie's should get in touch with us. Hobnobs, we would accept some sort of sponsorship deal, but until we get the McVitie's one, we do have some brand new sponsors working with us for this season, and it's the fantastic guys over at Citizen Ticket. And we're absolutely delighted to have them as our sponsor for this season. So Citizen Ticket, what are they? So if you are an event organizer, venue, or live stream creator, then you need to check out Citizen Ticket. It is a free self-service website that helps you sell your event tickets or live stream experiences. If you're a Scottish rugby fan, and if you're here, you're either a film fan or a Scottish rugby fan, you've probably bumped into them already. They're doing all the ticketing for the Fosrock Super 6 and Edinburgh City 7s. So if you've bought a ticket for either of those, you'll know how good Citizen Ticket is. So if you're planning an event, get onto their website, citizenticket.co.uk, and use the code ThistlePod when you create your account for a reduced in-booking fee. Thank you very much to the chaps over at Citizen Ticket. Let's jump straight into URC content, which is what I'm calling it now, because rugby is now just content. URC content from the weekend, Glasgow downing the Sharks with a very impressive 45 minutes where they scored all of their points, and then a less impressive 35 towards the end where they decided to stop scoring points. But Glasgow up and running, Matt, and when they're flowing, lots to like about this Glasgow team, right?
Yeah, when Glasgow looked good, it was when likes of Horn, Thompson, Johnson, who we talked about last week, seems to be having a bit of a return to form. Tupelo got in the game a lot. Cole Forbes and McLean, like when those guys got moving, you know, they play in quite an unpredictable way, and it was really good to watch. And then I also think that up front you had the guys that provided the go forward, not more so than Jack Dempsey, who looks like the sort of big ball carrier that everyone's been crying out for at Glasgow for a long time. So in those patches, they looked sort of like the Glasgow of old, I suppose, in terms of being really enterprising and really clinical. And then it was sort of became quite scrappy after a while. And I think, to be fair, Sharks weren't offering much. And it was a few Glasgow mistakes that allowed them back into the game. But I think that sort of maybe there's a few combinations gelling together. It's still early in the season. That was maybe expected given the great start they made.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tupelotu is it's sort of surprising quite a lot of people with what he's offering. I think he had his second try disallowed, and that was the last sort of interest Glasgow showed. But Matt, you mentioned him, Jack Dempsey, 96 yards, six defenders beaten. Alan, with Matt Ferguson on the return from injury, and Rory Darge wasn't playing, but you know, if he continues his trajectory, what sort of difference do you think that sort of ball carrying ability can make to a Glasgow team that's been a little bit frail going forward?
I think the sort of issue with Dempsey was never whether he's whether he's a good player. It's just whether he was going to refrain from getting injured. So obviously it's good to see him kind of get a couple of games under his belt, and hopefully he can sort of carry on for the rest of the season. Because I think you're right. I think once you've got him, hopefully, you know, I still forget how young Matt Ferguson is, but hopefully with sort of another sort of six months under his belt, he's still sort of developing. And then with Rory Darge, actually, that gives you a sort of back row that can both sort of compete on the deck, but also gives you a lot of ball carrying options. And then when you sort of add Cummings into the mix, who I think increasingly is sort of getting on the ball and really hits the line at pace. You know, I think if you compare him with someone like Richie Gray, when Richie Gray literally only gets the ball standing still, and then it's like a really like glacial pace into contact. Whereas Cummings, I feel, really brings that sort of like abrasive nature when he has the ball in hand. I still like Richie Gray, but he's definitely, I think,
bagging on Richie Gray's brand equity.
Mate, Richie Gray, you know, his brand equity is probably the highest any player's ever had in Scottish rugby. Back sort of maybe 2013. I think sort of 2014, when he had the peroxide long lid, he was very much sort of the poster boy of Scottish rugby.
That's true. I think
even for someone like my mum still knows who Richie Gray is. My mum wouldn't be able to pick out Finn Russell.
Suppose that Richie Gray with the peroxide blonde was probably more marketable globally than like Finn is now. If you're like a fashion brand, you'd probably prefer someone like Richie Gray than Finn.
I'm pretty sure if you're a fashion brand, Finn is getting beat by almost the majority of rugby players worldwide.
Yeah, you can't. You wouldn't hire Finn to be a top, to be a sort of underwear model like Parise or something like that, would you?
No. I don't think he's going to get into that. What's that, the Stade Francais calendar anytime soon? But no, I think on the point I was saying, once you've got those, you know, Cummings, Dempsey, Darge, and Ferguson, and then even whether he's starting on the bench, Turner into the mix, you've got a real sort of depth and sort of ball carriers who can get you over the gain line in that Glasgow pack.
Do you think Tupilotu is showing signs that he could be a useful asset at a Scotland level, Matt?
Possibly. I think that we talked about it in the newsletter that I still think Chris Harris is pretty much immovable from that 13 jersey. And I still do think that Hugh Jones offers a lot as potentially a different option to start, but a lot of cover from the bench. I think potentially, like, I think he's been good in parts and I think he is a good player, but I still think that Harris and Jones at their best are better operators than him. But you never know. He might be one of those guys that you put in an international shirt and he sort of seems to fit in quite well. I mean, I would still, it's funny, like, I think that the Glasgow backline did look pretty good at the weekend, but I wouldn't mind seeing Kyle Steyn given a shot at 13. Mm. And I actually think that, love him as I do, I think George Horn sometimes his fundamentals at 9 let him down slightly. And actually, I think his service was a bit ropey and a bit slow at points. So when you've got Ali Price returning to that lineup, offering a quicker service and sort of a better game management, I suppose, then the signs are looking pretty good.
You forget there is genuine British Lions coming back to drop into that Glasgow team as well. So they're not at their full strength just yet. Another player, brand new, catching eye, well, relatively brand new, Cole Forbes, a brace at the weekend, was obviously called up into that big Scotland squad for the summer internationals. Do you think we'll see him used against like Tonga or something like that? Can you see him getting a Scotland cap over the autumn?
Yeah, no, 100%. The one thing about Cole Forbes is he's just like, his whole demeanour is so Kiwi. He's just like such a classic sort of Kiwi guy. But I think, similar maybe to Tupilotu, that I think both of them will be capped in that Tonga game. I reckon they'll try and just lock them in right now. And I actually think Cole Forbes potentially as well will probably sort of stay around the squad and potentially kind of be involved either on the bench at some point, maybe not in the Australia South Africa game, but maybe on the back end and sort of the Japan game.
Do you think they'd prefer to use him rather than revert to Kinghorn, for instance?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting. I feel like potentially, I guess Cole Forbes gives you that full sort of probably a bit more cover at wing, which Kinghorn just doesn't particularly seem to sort of ever do for Edinburgh anymore.
Then Kinghorn has started on the wing for Scotland and done pretty well there, if you remember.
No. Yeah, no, agreed.
I just wonder if like Kinghorn, even though he's not playing in the back three, like has a couple more good games even at standoff, whether that might be enough to bring him into the consideration as that sort of replacement back three player ahead of Forbes.
Well, the thing about Kinghorn, I guess, is, you know, if he continues to do this sort of 10 role for Edinburgh with obviously the ability to play 15 to a really high standard, and then you have Chris Harris in the centres who can cover wing, then ultimately you can go for a 6-2 split and have a scrum half and Kinghorn. So Kinghorn is both your 10 and your 15 cover. And then...
And your 12.
Oh, wait, I'm trying to think. And then, wait a minute. What am I trying to do here?
Wait a minute.
It does. No, so maybe not. Oh, Finn can move to 12 and have Kinghorn at 10. What's your thoughts on that?
Or you bring Hoggy up to 10 and put Kinghorn to 15.
Yes. No, that's true.
Or Kinghorn at 12.
Probably not then, yeah.
It was a nice dream.
It'd be interesting. I think given, and we'll sort of come on to it, but I imagine given Jackal's performance at the weekend and if he sort of continues with that sort of run of form, then potentially we're going to see a lot more of Kinghorn at 10 going forward.
Yeah, and we will come on to Edinburgh in a little bit, but it's an interesting segue into fly halves. Ross Thompson given the start after Duncan Weir obviously picked up an injury last weekend. Very solid performance, including a try in the second minute. Is Ross Thompson Glasgow's number one? And you can see him playing more and more with Weir fading into the background, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I think although Glasgow made quite a lot of mistakes and the game got a bit scrappy towards the end, I actually wouldn't say that much, if any of it, was down to him. I think he maybe put one kick out on the full that he would have been a bit disappointed by. But I actually think apart from that, he was really solid, good in attack, got the back line going. Maybe the next step for him is controlling things a little bit better. But you'd like to think that would come with experience and time. I still quite like the look of Miotti, but didn't really seem to have played too much in the rugby championship, if at all. So I would imagine that even if he comes back and looks pretty sharp, that Thompson will be the guy who holds on to that 10 shirt. And fair play to him. He's taking his chances incredibly well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is still only 22 years old, so racking up all this pro game time and sort of experience in and around I guess Scotland squads, which he was called up to in the summer, obviously didn't get an opportunity in there, but you can see him being called up to the squads and being around it. It's a huge experience for the young guys. So I think there's plenty to like about this Glasgow team. We put out a poll on our Instagram feed earlier of how people were feeling about the start to the season, two games in. 83% of people said they were happy with how Edinburgh and Glasgow have started. So that is a pretty hopeful place in October from Scottish rugby fans. So from the good of Glasgow, we'll go to what looked like it was another solid performance from Edinburgh, beaten in the 85th minute by Benetton, a very, very nice drop goal in fairness. But Edinburgh beaten 28-27, tries from WP now. You love to see a brace from Velikot, someone we'll talk about in a sec, and Rambo, Stuart McInally getting over the line as well. Matt, Edinburgh have had a lot of shit losses to Italian teams in their time. Where would you rank this one on that scale of bad losses to Italian rugby?
Yeah, it's a really good, if depressing question. I mean, is a real sucker punch considering they were in the game the whole time and towards the end. So I think it's got to rank with some of the worst losses, because I think although Edinburgh didn't play to their full potential, they could have won that game. And I think that they are a better side than Benetton. Although, you know, they are the reigning rainbow watch.
Yeah.
You can never forget that.
Can't take it away. The thing is, you can't take it away from them.
It's impossible. I think it was very disappointing. And I think that, as I say, like Edinburgh were in a position to win that game at various points, taking the lead. And I think you would say, you know, with possession, I think in the 78th minute of the game, they probably think that they've thrown it away, really.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see with Benetton. So they scraped past the Stormers in the first game, and then obviously they've pipped Edinburgh. They're away to Ulster, and clearly sort of off the back of the Rainbow Cup, they've now gone sort of two games, and I think a few people are like, oh, Benetton are going to be pretty good, and I've got a suspicion that they're going to go to Ulster away and get absolutely pumped. And I actually don't think they're of a particularly good level, and I think Edinburgh should have actually quite easily put them to the sword this weekend.
But early signs of Blair's Babes looking like a sort of new exciting brand of rugby. They've scored four tries in both their fixtures so far. Matt, are you happy with how, you know, it's very, very early stages, but are you happy with the change in demeanour at Edinburgh Rugby?
Yeah, I think that there is a sense of kind of a more adventure and enterprise in the way that they're doing things. And like there were some really nice bits of play, and Vellacott once again was maybe the star of the highlights package, balanced out by quite a few mistakes. But I think that was kind of, you maybe say the same in the Scarlets match as well. And I think that's just natural when you're bedding in new players and bedding in a different style. I think that overall, I'd be pretty happy with the attack. It was maybe just the game control and some of the defense as well for a couple of the Benetton tries was pretty porous. So you just hope that they haven't lost that sort of hard edge that Cockerell seemed to have instilled in them in the past few seasons.
You do think for some of the moments in that game that if they'd been under Cockerell, they would have got a bit of the hairdryer treatment after the game, because it was very sort of unlike Richard Cockerell or teams that he has underneath him in terms of, to your point, sort of some soft tackling, etc.
I think Rambo might have been subbed off after 20 minutes, to be fair. I don't want to single out players, but he did miss a couple of pretty big tackles for that kind of led to Benson tries. But he wasn't the only one, right?
Yeah. It was sort of one of those tackles where you sort of like make the hit and he kind of, I don't know whether he just sort of like assumed that the guy was down, and then he just sort of fell down and the guy was like, I'm still standing. And like because everyone had sort of almost started to get back into the sort of defensive line, and then they were kind of like thrown off guard by him sort of then bursting through. But yeah, no, 100%, it's like the sort of tackle you just have to make, right? And then it's nice to see Connor Boyle.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Getting a start at 7 in the back row with sort of Matt and Richie. I think Luke Crosby was probably one of the weaker players last week for Edinburgh. So obviously nice to see sort of Connor Boyle get some time. And I think, you know, clearly it was sort of him and Rory Darge were sort of key components of that under 20 side a couple of years ago. And yeah, Seb, just really keen to see him kick on, because I think maybe even more than Darge, I thought he might be sort of might take professional rugby by storm. So hopefully get a couple more games under his belt and see a great Schumel boy getting a bit more game time.
Darge, sorry, I'm thinking ahead to Scotland. We've talked about.
Yeah, just like I've checked out of your terrible Schumel shit chat.
As I'm moving this on, I was going to say that Connor Ball, I think, came via Watsonians, didn't he?
Originally, it's Schumel, and then he went to Watsonians
because he had to step out of the doldrums of Schumel to step up to the top level.
Because Schumel, out of principle, didn't put in a bid for the Super Six.
Because they don't agree with it.
Yeah, just like our principal didn't agree with the whole thing. Could have got a spot, but we're like, we will not be involved in this travesty.
Well, that's the thing. I think Harriets could probably do with the team that's closer to them. So get Stumel playing in beneath as well. Yeah, absolutely fine. I was going to talk about Vellacott a little bit there. Obviously, he's burst onto the scene in Scotland, and it is fantastic to see. Matt, you were talking about George Horn's fundamentals there in the Glasgow game. Scotland's number 9 jersey, obviously sewing on for Ali Price. How do you see the fight below that with sort of your Vellacotts, your Horns, and on the outskirts of that, Jamie Doby?
Yeah, I mean, I think Charlie Cheel's been called up in his training squads, and obviously in the last Six Nations, you had
Scott Steele.
And, you know, I don't think he let anyone down. And has been kept on by Harlequins, and you know, the Premiership champions has been, although I don't think he played in the final, wasn't in the squad, but it's clearly pretty valued by them. I think that actually Price is obviously number one pick, and I wonder if Steele's done enough in the last 9 months or so actually to merit his place in that squad. So I think that you're probably, you've got that fight between Bellicott and Horn, who's sort of been in the international wilderness for a while. And you'd happily have either of them at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously they are both pretty similar players. It's just that age old problem now that you have Price, Horn and Dobie all trying to get game time at Glasgow.
When, yeah.
You know, at least Dobie should be getting a lot more game time. Horn should be getting a lot more game time. So it's just a shame, I suppose.
It is an absolute shame. It's a crying shame. You're not wrong, but that is the situation where we find ourselves in. Anything else on Edinburgh Benetton? I think Glasgow have got the Lions. They've got a really nice, favourable draw over the next couple of weeks. They've got the Lions followed by Zebra. So, Alan, you backing that for two wins?
I think Glasgow will 100% take down the Lions. I kind of get the impression that Stormers are potentially the strongest of the South African franchises. I mean, they just lost to Benetton, but then, to be fair, didn't, you know, 34-18 against Munster. I think they were winning at half time. So I actually think the Stormers might be like, Edinburgh should still win it, but I think it'll still be quite a tough game for Edinburgh. But no, going for two wins, I think Glasgow should be putting sort of 20-25 past the Lions, and then Edinburgh by about sort of 5-7.
Happy with that. Edinburgh have got a brace of South Africans, Stormers, and then the Bulls at the Dam Health Stadium over the next couple of weeks. Matt,
a COVID test today with a PCR with Dam Health.
You did a Dam Health PCR test.
Yeah. I'm eating my own cooking. Yeah, exactly.
How was it?
Did you do it because of the deal?
I realized I've done one already with Dam Health and I had no idea I'd done it before. So that's how strong their branding is, I suppose.
That's the power of it.
I don't think, do you really worry about the brand when you're looking for a COVID test?
I only take COVID tests that sponsor rugby stadiums. but that's just the personal line that I choose to draw.
I was just looking at the Stormers team and I know they're missing players, but I don't really recognize a single player. And I feel like 5 years ago, Super Rugby Stormers, you'd be recognizing a few guys. But then I kind of look at their roster at the moment, and they, when they get their Springboks back, actually a pretty good team. Like Kitsoff, Mal Herb, Herschel Yanchis, Willemse, Sanatla. Yeah, maybe they're sort of the front runners in the South Africa side of things.
Yeah, I knew obviously that because that Tim Sweel guy came on. He was ex Harlequins, and then that Sergio Peterson lad. He's been round the block a little bit, but
David Myhuizen, remember him? There was rumors he was going to come.
Is he the second row? He's got a Scottish granny.
Yeah.
He's coming to check out the Dam Health Stadium.
Was he playing? He wasn't playing last week, but you know.
I agree. Actually, when they're back to full strength, well, Kitsoff, Malberg, Damien William say, how do you pronounce his name?
What did you call him before? Malbec.
Malbec.
The old Malbec.
Mal Herb.
Yeah, Mal Herb. Yeah, no, this should probably be all right, actually. Although I still think I think people are like chatting about all these like South African players are coming back, and I probably need to do a bit more digging. But I'm of the impression that a significant volume will be going back to European and Japanese teams.
Yeah,
it's but yeah, at least post autumn internationals. So to be fair, if you're Edinburgh and Glasgow, you're probably going to get as many out the way as possible now before they actually
Yeah, definitely.
Come up to full strength. And it's the weird thing they were saying, because the guys who bought Saracens, one of them also owns
the Sharks.
Yeah. Which is
and one of them's on the board of Roc Nation.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. Roc Nation, man. They just do what they want. There's like just infecting the rugby ecosystem.
Yeah.
Just with their snazzy marketing slogans.
It seems like, because I think, remember Altrad, who obviously owns Montpellier, tried to buy Gloucester, and it got vetoed because you couldn't own two teams that might be playing in the same competition.
Yes, but yeah.
Mark Evans was tweeting some stuff about it, and it seems like the governance around all this stuff in rugby in general is just all over the shop. Like, there's no real rules about whether you can own two clubs or not, and the checks and balances that are in place. So it seems as if you've got enough money and you want to do something, no one's really going to stop you, despite potential conflicts of interest.
Yeah. No, exactly. Do you think that guy who's been like kind of the lead spokesperson for Roc Nation, you know, he started to do a bit of a stadium tour. So he like picked up like Rodney Parade this week, maybe did the sports show the week before. He's on like the Monday conference call and everyone's like, right, what's how's the old URC going? And he's like, lads, we have bitten off way more than we can do. He's like, I did not. He's like, until you go to Rodney Parade, you don't understand the mountain we're trying to climb here. Yeah. It's just like, it's one of these weird things where I think, you know, ultimately, you know, especially somewhere like maybe Wales more than anywhere, where there's just this weird sort of like mix of people who like hate the regions, and you know, there's this whole like, you know, is it Cardiff or is it the Cardiff Blues, et cetera, et cetera. It's like trying to explain, you know, that dynamic to like a sort of what is ultimately sort of a US-based like marketing firm. They just, I mean, how is that? I still don't fully understand kind of the dynamics of Newport versus Newport Gwent, and kind of what parts of Wales do they represent, and why wouldn't someone from the Valley support like Cardiff, etc. Trying to sort of explain that to a group of like US marketing execs must be like the hardest thing in the history of the world, right?
but then at the end of it saying, but like put all that aside, because the Stormers from Cape Town are coming to town and everyone's going to unite against them, because like that is a decades old rivalry. What, so every single week, every second week, you got a team flying from South Africa to the UK? Yep, that's just about it. Really?
I know. It's, but I feel bad. I feel like constantly negative.
Now is not the time for cheap gags.
Now is not the time for cheap gags. The other thing I say, France Verstappen, who's on the pitch, he plays for the Cheetahs. He can't even play in the URC.
No, it's all right. I was trying to think of a way in which I could segue this into Scots abroad, but Scots abroad, let's have a look at some of the Scots that were playing down south and abroad at the weekend. Let's start with Adam Hastings. First and foremost, lads, have you seen Adam Hastings with his top off recently? He's in the best condition of probably any Scottish rugby player ever. It's unbelievable.
Fair play.
Ibiza.
Got the rig in place for Ibiza, and now just chilling in Chris Harris's gaff in the jacuzzi, having a great time, putting in man of the match performances.
Yeah, he got his rig in shape for Ibiza, and now he's discovering that actually has knock on benefits for his rugby career, not the other way around. But beautiful cross field kick. If you haven't seen it, check it out on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Little left footer cross field to Harris as Gloucester went on to secure victory against Worcester. Man of the match performance. Cause I think, did he set up another one with a kick, Matt?
Yeah, another cross field off his right peg that time. And then I think, it was close to 100%, if not 100% off the tee.
And that would have been Chris. That would have been Harris making his sort of post Lions bow, because I think he was off the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But it's, I think there was a bit of a kind of worry around Gloucester having not won a game. And obviously it was Hastings' first bow in the ten shirt and made a big difference. And Andrew Davidson, I think, had a very good game as well.
Yeah, a lot of people talking up Andrew Davidson, which is, yeah, really, really interesting to see him down there. Hoggy, we'll start with the big names, work out some of the the smaller names or people that we've not heard from for a wee while. Hoggy, by all accounts, I didn't see the game myself, had a very good good run out for Exeter on his return, including one sort of try assist for Henry Slade. Lovely little cat flap.
Yeah, I think just generally looking very solid.
Yeah.
And I think clearly, this, it was interesting, there's a few comments in the press today about obviously Hogg not being picked for the semi-final and final of the Premiership, and then, you know, potentially having a bit of a shocker in the second test, although I don't think anyone who played a back was in the back three for the Lions sort of comes off that tour in particularly great light. And, you know, Baxter was talking about, you know, ultimately just got to put it behind you. And I think Hogg definitely looked like someone who playing with a lot of purpose, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting. I think hopefully he, as I said, just super solid, doing the basics really, really well, just like constantly looking for work, almost again, just a little bit too much. Like there is just like something to prove sometimes, but I think generally looking really good.
And one that we actually missed off on our newsletter. If you're not subscribed to the newsletter, get yourself on the Substack. That's Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast on there. We're in your inboxes every week with a bit of a rundown on all the news from the weekend. Andy Crammond, formerly of Toulon, now playing with Biarritz. 4 games into the top 14 season, he started 3 out of 4, and he's dotted down for a try. Which is completely fair enough. Averaging 72 minutes a game in the top 14. So Andy Crammond, Faye Crammond, is doing some great stuff down in on the south of France.
Two other people I'd point out, a couple of props in the Premiership. Robin Hislop started every game.
Bomber.
The Wasps since his move there in the summer. And Nick Otterack has had a couple of starts for, who obviously was called into that Scotland camp in the summer, has, I think, started 1 game and been the bench for unbeaten Northampton side. So fair play to those boys.
Matt, put you under pressure. What side of the scrum does Robin Hislop play on?
He is a loose head, and so is Nick Otterack.
Very good, I think. That's number one, right?
Yeah.
Was Robin Hislop in the Scotland squad in the summer?
Yeah, yeah. We don't need loose heads, though. We need tight heads.
Yeah.
Although it's interesting to see Murray McCallum
has been
starting ahead of Simon Bergen, I think, for Glasgow.
And I'm really happy with that.
Yeah.
Mainly because he engages with us on social media, so he's all right in my book. But it's great to see him playing rugby as well.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, what is it about Murray McCallum's sort of tight head prop play that you're a fan of, Dave?
It's numbers. It's social interactions. That's all I'm here for. As I say, everything is content now. This isn't even about rugby anymore. Rugby is just a content commodity. And that's about it, I think. I'm having a look through. It's just a quick one from us tonight.
The big one you missed, who the guy is still blowing my mind, Tim Swinson.
Oh,
yeah.
75 minutes in the row for Saracens, then Hunter Hill replaced him. But like in a horrific, like tough old match against Leicester. Like the guy was literally retired like 2 years ago and has just sort of like had this weird resurgence where I kind of assumed he was going to do the one season in the Championship. And now, you know, it's not a bad Saracens team, right, that he's playing in.
No.
It's interesting that clearly they still see him, you know, ahead of Hunter Hill. And I'm sure maybe when Itoje comes in, it'll be Itoje and Ezekwe. But still, clearly Swinson's still putting in like pretty banging performances.
guess you get good bang for your buck like him. He's now he's not going off on Scotland duty, not going off on internationals, and they will lose Itoje and maybe Ezekwe as well to England. So
yeah, I mean, it's almost a little bit annoying because there was the kind of the hope that the year in the championship would sort of allow Hunter Hill to kind of get more game time and hopefully get more game time. And annoyingly, Swinson seems to be keeping him out of the team.
Who would you rather have in your Glasgow team at the moment, Tim Swinson or Richie Gray? I'm going Swinno.
I'd probably take Swinno.
Compared to him at the weekend, was very good in the lineup.
Yeah. Well, actually, to be fair, one of the big issues in the last 20 minutes of that Glasgow game was the lineout was a complete and utter shit show. But for the first 60 minutes, it was smooth as, and I don't know, you'll see Richie and Fraser Brown, two pretty old heads, probably know each other quite well. Seems to be pretty smooth. Also, really bad bagging George Turner for his lineout throwing, because the one time we went quite hard on him, he then played amazing for Scotland against England, and then we got shit. I think, well, not from his dad, someone.
Yeah, his dad was in our DMs being like, "When are you going to apologize?" To be fair, we made that Michael Jordan meme of him, so that counts as an apology, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that does.
We went semi-viral, so thank you very much, George. Again, content is king. And speaking of, I think that's probably the end of this episode. Just a quick check-in from us. We're going to take a week off next week because Matt's going on holiday.
You're getting your turkey neck retrimmed, aren't you?
I'm getting my turkey neck retrimmed. So we're having a week off, and then we'll be back. And from our calculations, we think the Scotland Autumn International squad will be announced that week. So hopefully we'll have a big bumper episode looking into all of that, whilst also being able to look back on two fantastic pro team wins, or four fantastic pro team wins in the last couple of weeks. But in the meantime, keep in touch with us on Twitter. That's @ThistleRugbyPod. On Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And subscribe to the newsletter. That's on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. And we will keep up the newsletters in lieu of a podcast next week. So you're still getting that taste of the Thistle every single week. But until then, we will speak to you guys very, very soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.